And like you said in the group chat on Discord a couple days ago after the game, Kevin Adams set this rebuild back 3+ fucking years. Welcome to the Checking From Behind podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm your host, Zach, as always joined by my co-host, Preston. The NHL season is now underway. We have been watching a ton of hockey, except last night. I didn't. I went to a wedding. I had a ton of fun.
You're a legit excuse, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad I watched. I went to the wedding instead of watch the fucking Sabres play.
Yeah, I unfortunately decided after the first period, I kind of just put it on in the background, and then they scored a goal late to make it interesting. And it was kind of funny. The Bruins had the Sabres had an empty net for like 2 minutes, and the Bruins could not freaking score. It took them forever to score on it.
The Sabres made the Bruins look like the Florida Panthers last night.
I don't know about that. We'll get to that later, but
we do have some news to go over, though, that happened right before the season. We have, first off, Kyle Connor signed an 8x$12 million extension. Jack Eichel signed an 8x$13.5 million extension. And if you guys didn't watch our video that we put out right after this extension with Connor McDavid, he signed a 2x$12.5 million deal. So some news to digest here. More with Kyle Connor and Jack Eichel, because we have heard over the past couple weeks that both parties from both teams were looking to make an get an extension done. And now it's finally done. And now the UFA class of 2026 looks like it's going to be fucking shit once again, because obviously we knew.
There's still going to be some decent players available, I think. It's just, I mean, we all knew that Jack Eichel and Kyle Connor weren't going to be available. Right. Like, did we really think that was going to happen?
No.
Like, be honest with yourself, because, like, I'm just looking at, like, we still have Artemi Panarin, Marty Natchez, Adrian Kempe, Alex Tuck, Rasmus Anderson. So still some good players that, like, Panarin will hit UFA.
And honestly, I don't think Kempe or Tuck will hit UFA, but Kempe and the Kings are still not close on talks. And
Tuck cares about his mental health. He should be a UFA.
Yes. And I think Rasmus Anderson will end up being a UFA.
I agree, unless he gets traded to Vegas somehow and they somehow figure out a way to get him extended.
Yeah, somehow.
I don't know how they'd be able to make that work right now. But
yeah, I think it was going into the season, I think it was a priority for both the Jets and Vegas to get both of them locked up. Because obviously, like we've talked about before, like teams and players don't really want to talk about an extension during the season. You want to just play hockey and focus on that. And I'm sure it's this huge sigh of relief that both players are now locked up long term again.
Yeah.
And on top of it, Kyle Connor's first game, I believe, scored a hattie. So already showing that he can put up another 40-goal season, put up 100 points on top of it, making the Jets look very smart with this. And in terms of Jack Eichel, him and Marner look phenomenal in Vegas together. They got their first point together on opening night, their first game of the season. So, I mean, again, both teams get both of their superstars locked up, and I overall like it for both teams. And now, though, I want you, well, I guess we both can, rank the four deals from which one we think is the best deal, and obviously which one we think is the worst deal, and then the
we
other
start
deal.
For four or one?
Yeah, start with four.
Kaprizov.
I'm with that, Kaprizov.
I have no issue with the term of the contract. $17 million is just a shit. Compared to these other contracts, the other contracts I feel are very team-friendly. And then this one is just like, I get you got to pay the dude, but $17 million is crazy.
I wonder if he ended up getting paid after these guys, if he's still at $17 million or not. Like, if
I think he was going to be the max no matter what.
It's so crazy, though, that he got $17 million and all these players are like, yeah, I'll take $12.5 million, $13.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Going on to number three.
Probably just because of the term of the contract, mm-hmm. Connor McDavid.
Ooh, I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't necessarily know if I'd have him at three because of the money. I mean, 12.5 and his market value is $19 million.
I get the cap hits great, it's just the term.
Yeah. I mean, that could be scary if you're an Oilers fan in an organization and stuff, too.
Yeah, I think it will lead to nothing. I think he'll just get his big payday in 2 years when the contract's over. But, yeah, if it was like a longer-term deal, obviously, number one, if they were able to get a long-term deal done in that cap hit, which I don't think was possible. No. But, yeah, three for me for now.
Yeah. Number two?
Kyle Connor.
Yeah, 8x$12 million. I mean,
great value, good player. I have literally zero issues with his contract.
It was a contract where his worth is $12 million, not more, not less. And obviously, number one, Jack Eichel, at 13.5. I think his market value is like $15 million.
Yeah, I think he took. It's a bit of a team friendly deal. I mean, he's already has 7 points this season.
Yeah,
in three games, so he's already looking. I mean, we knew he was legit anyway, but this is a really good value contract, and I think Eichel left a little bit of money on the table to help the team out.
Just a little bit. I thought he was going to get $15 million. Reports are saying he was going to get around between 14 and 15 mm-hmm. into 13 and a half. And I'm okay with that ranking. I mean, I would put McDavid one again, like I said, the money and everything, but I get what the term and everything. At 2 years, if you're in the Oilers fan or in the Oilers organization, it could be a little bit scary because you're like, well, in 3 years, he could potentially just walk from us because we didn't win a Stanley Cup. So I think it's right now that the Oilers have to win. And some more news, the Pens and the Kings reveal new jerseys. They both did on-ice reveals. The Kings did like the silver crown head or something.
Yeah.
Fuck the chrome heads. The Penguins did a mustard yellow uniform. You know what? When I originally saw the Pens uniforms on Instagram, I didn't think they were great. I saw them on ice. I think they're a better product on ice than the pictures that we got. That's just me.
I think the Kings one's pretty damn ugly.
I don't mind it. The chrome helmets ruin it.
Well, the chrome helmets ruin any jersey.
That's also true.
I'm a chrome helmet hater. You can say whatever you want. But the Pens ones, I think, are hideous. I probably one of the worst jerseys the Pittsburgh Penguins organizations have ever had, because they've had amazing jerseys almost their whole history, and this is mm-hmm. pretty bad in my opinion.
It's not bad, but it's not good. It's like average. Like, they look like the Nashville Predators, though, with those jerseys, with the uniforms and everything, but
I'm just not big fan of teams making, like, their third color their primary jersey color, like, for an alternate.
I guess it has to be the right color for it, because, like, for example, if a team for some reason has black as their third jersey, like, I'm okay with black jerseys.
Yeah, but, I mean, with the Kings, the regular Kings home and away are so clean, like... I don't know. I'm just not a big... I really don't like that Kings jersey. I think it's worse than the Penguins jersey.
Do you think it's worse than the Penguins?
I think it's boring.
Wow.
It's just boring. I just don't like it. I don't like either of them. It's not like I'm going to buy either of them anyway, yeah. But... Yeah, I'm just not a fan of of those jerseys. Honestly, if you want to do a third jersey, why not do the purple and gold?
I was thinking that.
Because they're it's not really that much different than the regular home jerseys, just with a worse logo.
You could have just did the purple and gold one with the crown helmet, and then fucking put on chrome helmets that way, just a different fucking color.
Yeah, I don't know why they just don't wear the purple the jerseys, because those ones are elite.
Dude, purple jerseys are elite.
Yeah.
For the Kings, at least. Let's hop into some overreactions for the NHL season. We're like fucking 4 days into it, but we don't care. The Sabres have played 2 NHL hockey games this season. Their season is officially over before they drop the puck game one.
I don't think that's an overreaction. I think they were already pretty injured. And then game one, we were at that game, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say they played horrible. It's just Igor played like Igor Shesterkin, and mm-hmm. you're going to have to beat him. They weren't really challenging him, in my opinion. He had a couple like decent saves, but outside of that, like they didn't really challenge him too much, and the Rangers just outplayed them. And then Josh Norris is going to be out indefinitely with a lower body injury. I guess they're still doing testing. They don't know how if he's going to need surgery or not, or how long it's going to be. And then they played the Bruins yesterday, and they got outshot 18-1 in the first period.
It's a rough time if you're a Sabres fan.
It's been a rough time for 15 years.
It has been, yeah. There was a video that's surfacing, I know you saw it, somebody walking out of the arena, some like fan, he's probably around our age or something like that, and he was like screaming, obviously he's drunk, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs in frustration with the Sabres. He's like, I was 6 fucking years old when the last time this team made the playoffs, and that's literally everybody.
Yeah,
everybody.
I was in middle school, I was in 8th grade.
Yes.
Uh-huh, yeah, it's going to be longer. Because there's no possible way I could see the Sabres making the playoffs this year with the way they have their roster constructed. Their power play looks horrific. Mm-hmm. They look like they don't give a shit when they skate.
They just like coast and glide out there. It's insane that a team injuries happen as part of sports and everything. But when you have a roster constructed like the Sabres, you don't have room to have these injuries and people out for a long period of time. You have Owen Power, Zach Benson, Michael Kesterling out before even the season started. And now you lose
Josh Norris
Josh Norris late in the third period in game one which is already rough. And then on top of it, no offense to Josh Dunn or anything out of the AHL, but when you lose a guy like Josh Norris, who looks phenomenal in the preseason, he was tied with Tage at the top of the NHL preseason point leaderboard with 7, and then you call up Josh Dunn from the AHL to replace Josh Norris instead of bringing up like Consta or Austin or Rosen or any of these guys. And then, you know what pisses me off more about the Sabres too? You don't want to trade them for assets for the NHL roster, but you don't think they're good enough to play on your NHL fucking roster. So now they're just in the AHL, not helping the team at all. And like you said in the group chat and on Discord a couple days ago after the game, Kevin Adams set this rebuild back 3+ fucking years at this
point. Yeah, I mean, just look at the moves he made the last few years. I mean, that Josh Norris trade, is going to go down as one of the worst trades in Sabres history. Just given, like, even if Cousins doesn't become, like, a 70-point-plus player, even if he's just, like, a 50-point, 60-point guy every year, like an average player, you gave up a second-round pick and Dylan Cousins for Jacob Bernard-Docker, who they didn't even – he was an RFA. They didn't even tender him. Mm-hmm. He walks. And then Josh Norris, who has played 3 games for the Sabres in 2 years. And who knows how long, I mean, I'll give Norris the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he can bounce back from it, but he has not played one full season in his NHL career. Mm-hmm. He's had injury issues every single season. I'm glad it's not his shoulder, because if it was a shoulder, you might need to call it, buddy.
Yeah.
Because he had like 2 or 3 shoulder surgeries already?
So far.
Yeah, if it was his shoulder again, you might just need to pack it up.
Yeah.
But what a horrific trade. I remember when this trade happened. I was furious. Everyone was like, I don't get why you're so mad. And this is why I was mad, because I saw this coming.
Cousins has 17 points in 22 games for the Senators so far.
It's not even about what Cousins has done. We know what Cousins is, right? It's about what Josh Norris fails to do. And you know what? I don't want him to get hurt. It'd be one thing if he was like healthy every game and he was just sucked. That's one thing, but he's not even on the ice. He's had injury issues his whole career, and it followed into Buffalo. I'm not surprised. It's just some players just get hurt more than others.
And when Norris is on the ice, this is the issue. When Norris is on the ice, he's actually a very good hockey player.
I mean, I haven't really seen it much for the Sabres. He's played 3 fucking games.
Right, and the only time he played 60-plus games in his career, he put up 30-35 goals. So you've seen it when he can actually play more than half the season, but obviously he hasn't been able to at all in his career except out of one season. So, and what makes this even worse is that the Sabres medical staff the Sabres front office asked the Sabres medical staff if they should do this trade because of the injury issues, and they said, yeah, go for it.
He was injured when they traded for him, and he played like 2 or 3 games because he wanted to prove that, like, you know, he wanted to show something to his new team and everything. I get that, but then he has made his injury worse, and then after the end of the season, the guy probably should have been playing.
It's ridiculous, dude.
Like, I don't know how that kind of stuff happens. Because if you look at the Sabres, like, now they have no center depth. They have none.
None.
And if you look at the roster from, like, 4 or 5 years ago, they had insane center depth. And it's all gone.
It all got ruined.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know something? You traded I know Casey Mittelstadt hasn't been good outside of that, like, not ridiculous run, but he's looked better in his last, you know, few months with Buffalo.
I think he will have a decent year in Boston.
But he was actually looking better in Buffalo before we traded him for Bowen Byram 1-for-1, which at the time the trade looked great. But I mean, I love Bowen Byram and everything, but now our fucking center depth is worse. And what makes this even worse is, A, Josh Stone looks phenomenal in a Buffalo Sabres sweater so far. He honestly looks like this one of the Sabres' best players.
He looks like he's giving effort. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I mean, he's winning puck battles. He's getting the pucks. Half of the players look like I was when we were at the game or whatever against the Rangers on opening night. It looked like the Sabres, they were losing every puck battle.
They didn't look ready to play.
Their passes were off. They weren't sustaining any pressure, and they might have outshot the Rangers, but all their shots were from like outside the dots. Outside
they never really challenged Igor. It was bad.
Yeah.
But, like, even, like, I know, like, this is going, like, 5+ years now. They had Jack Eichel. They had Sam Reinhart. They had Dylan Cousins. They had a lot of great centers. It got to an issue where, like, we have too many centers here. Some of them are going to have to play. Sam Reinhart was playing wing.
Yeah.
Because we didn't need him to play center. And now we have our number one center is Yuri Kulich. And no offense to him, he's a second-year player. He should not be a team's number one center.
Yeah, and Tage Thompson got moved over to the wing because he couldn't win faceoffs to save his life. And he was taking some draws on Thursday night.
Yeah, and now Ryan McLeod's our number two center. Like, we have no center depth at all.
We don't have scoring.
No, we have no scoring depth.
And before people want to comment or say anything, this goes past the Paterka trade. It would still be like this even if we had Paterka or not. Maybe he adds another goal or two. That's about it. And it's no shade at J.J. Paterka. It's just how the Sabres roster is constructed at this point.
It's just even the power play, it's frustrating to watch because they all just stand still and Tage just stands there waiting for a one-timer pass. And every team in the league knows, oh, they're going to pass the Tage because he has one of the best shots in the league. We'll just have a man on him the whole time. And the goalies cheat knowing that you use that to your advantage. Like everyone on the ice knows you want to get the puck to Tage. And they all kind of cheat that way because they know it. Take advantage of it. They don't. They don't move around. Like, they just play uninspired hockey. They're awful.
You know something? Speaking of that power play, they all, like you said, they all cheat the Tage side. Why don't you throw a guy like Yuri Kulich on the right wing, a left-hand shot who has a ridiculous shot, whether for one tier, whether it's to open up to take a nice shot. But nope, they don't do that. They throw fucking no offense to Jack Quinn. Actually, all offense to Jack Quinn. He fumbles the puck every time he gets it. Take him off of the fucking power play. I mean, just in general, like, the power play is brutal. At least, on the bright side, the penalty kill doesn't look too bad, but don't want to take too much light into it because you play the
puck. I don't even know how you fix this in Buffalo because, you know, it's been 15 years in this rebuild where they show progress every once in a while, mm-hmm. and then they blow it up. They make stupid roster decisions, bad coaching moves, like, this coaching staff, I think, has to go. No offense to Lindy Ruff. I don't think he could fix this. He was dealt a bad hand, in my opinion. I think they really just hired him because they were desperate for any kind of positivity from the fans. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the fans love Lindy.
Right.
He's one of the best coaches, if not the best coach the Sabres have ever had. I don't think he's the right coach for this group.
No.
I think the assistant coaching staff is horrific. They kept most of the staff from Don Granato, which everyone hated. All the Sabres fans hated when they kept them. Including our horrible power play coach. Our front office is a joke. Kevin Adams is more worried about guys who want to be here, even if they're not very good, than just going acquiring top players and trying to make it work. And I get you're going to be limited with no trade clauses. I'm sure Buffalo's on almost every team's no trade list. It's hard to attract big free agents here because we might have the money to pay them, but why would they want to play for an organization like this?
Look at the product that's on the ice.
Yeah.
Look at the organization.
And, you know, he can say whatever the fuck he wants about, oh, we have to pay taxes and it snows here. It snows in other fucking places, too. Look at Minnesota. Kirill Kaprizov just took that contract there. I know they gave him a lot of money, but players will sign teams in bad weather areas or high tax states like California mm-hmm. because if an organization is winning and they want to be a part of that winning, most players just care about winning.
Yeah.
Like, that's what all it comes down to. So, I don't even know how you fix this. It starts from the top down, and I hate to say this, but I think they might need to blow it up again.
Yeah, that's rough to say that. And watching this team, following this team, it sucks because you're like, you want to watch hockey. You want to like them. But I was talking to, shout out Jimmy and Zach and everything who's been on the podcast, met multiple times. I was like, would anybody fault me and Preston for just saying fuck the Sabres and like just liking another team at this point? Like, it's becoming so bad. Like, obviously not Vegas, Florida, but like a team like Minnesota, for example, or Dallas, etc. Or, you know, just the point being is, it is so hard to sit down and watch the Sabres play hockey. It's not even like the San Jose Sharks where they're bad, but they're fun to watch, or the Anaheim Ducks.
Well, the Sabres used to be fun to watch because they used to score like 5 goals a game, but then they let in 6.
Like in 22-23, like when they missed the playoffs by 1 point, like you said, their goaltending was horrific, but at least they were in fun hockey games, right? This is just not fun hockey games. Like if the Sabres are playing like 2-1 games, but they're winning, I'll fucking watch them because we're winning hockey games. But the fact that we're losing 3-1 and 4-0 in the first two games of the season, when you are sitting here and trying to get the fans back in their seat, because if you saw an opening night, if the hockey team is good, that arena sold out every single fucking night. And I can guarantee
they used to sell it every game.
Yeah.
I would say COVID is kind of what killed like the Sabres fans going to the arena, because even before COVID, people were going to the games a lot still. The tickets weren't cheap, like
mm-hmm.
they weren't selling out every game, but they were selling out more often than not. And then COVID, you know, obviously people couldn't go to the games, and then Sabres probably had their worst season in franchise history that year. And then everyone was like, why the fuck would I want to come back? They lost a ton of season ticket holders. Even still to this day, like they're still recovering. And
I'll give them some credit. Their ticket prices aren't bad for NHL hockey. Mm-hmm. If you look at other league teams in the league, like a lot of teams, you can't even get season tickets. Even on not some of the bad teams, because people like watching hockey.
Yeah.
And the Sabres season tickets are honestly pretty cheap, and you get a ton of really good benefits for it. But the on ice product is so bad. Like, I canceled my tickets this year. I couldn't do it anymore. We were leaving so many games early, and then paying for parking, and if we wanted to get something, we were spending more money going to the game than we weren't enjoying the game.
It's ridiculous. And on top of it, if you're like, oh, I can't go to the game, nobody will buy your fucking tickets for $20.
No. Yeah, it's rough.
It's rough. It's rough. This episode is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. I use DraftKings to win big, and you should too. The NFL is in full swing, and there's no better way to get in on the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. From first-time touchdown score to taking the over on Josh Allen's total touchdowns, or the thrill of just live betting, DraftKings has it all. And here's the best part. For new customers, you can bet just $5, and if your bet hits, you'll get $200 in bonus bets. Your team hitting pay dirt pays out to you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code in all caps, THPN, to turn $5 into $200 in bonus bets if your bet hits. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, that is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for gambling problems. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, fees may apply in Illinois. Must be the age of 21 years or older. Age and eligibility vary by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 7 days after assurance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos for details. NFL Sunday Ticket offer for new subscribers only. Auto renews until canceled. Digital games and commercial use excluded. Restrictions apply. Additional terms at youtube.com/pro/NFL Sunday Ticket/terms. Limited time offer.
All right, quick time out before we get back to the action. This episode is brought to you by W Energy. Listen, hockey's fast, and whether you're breaking down plays, yelling shoot from the couch, or just getting in a workout, you've got to stay sharp. That's where W comes in. Clean energy with zero sugar, no crash, no artificial flavors or dyes. Just 150 milligrams of caffeine per serving, about 2 cups of coffee's worth, to keep you locked in and ready to go. Personally, I use W before the gym, on the ice, and even when prepping content for the pod. If you need that extra spark, whether you're grinding through work, lifting, or lacing up the skates, W's got you covered. Head over to W.gg and use code CFBPOD for 10% off your order. That's W.gg, code CFBPOD for 10% off your order. Fuel up, stay locked in, and let's get back to the episode. Over next to one of our overreactions, the Bruins are a playoff team. I want to throw the Penguins in here, too, together. The Bruins are a playoff team, and the Penguins can also compete for a wild card spot.
I think Penn's wild card is a bit of an overreaction. I think they came out strong out of the gate, new coach, new system. I think things will settle a little bit down. They got thrashed by the Rangers last night.
Yeah.
But they're better than I thought they would be. To be honest with you, I don't think they're going to be like the worst team in the league. I never thought that, but this should be about like mid. Like, they'll probably miss the playoffs by like 10 points.
I'm looking at the Penguins. They can they look good so far. Like, really good. I like the addition of Shelovs.
Yeah, he had a really good game for them against the Rangers night. That was he played he won them that game.
He played really good. Yeah. And they're younger guys, and I know my brother's a Penguins fan, and he's trying to slowly get back into hockey's casual, no offense, Nate. But he likes the young guys, and the young guys, Kindle, I believe, had his first career goal, which we'll get to later in this episode, last night, too, for the Penguins. And somebody else got a first career goal on opening night. So, the Penguins, they look good. Crosby looks good. Malkin looks good. And then on the Bruins side of things, Jeremy Swayman looks completely back. I know it's only 2 games. I think that might be a little bit of overreaction, but I told people that Jeremy Swayman, full off season as a goaltender, we've seen this before, and I'll agree with you with this. It's hard to compare him and Vasilevskiy coming back to a full off season because one had contract holdout situations and another had hip surgery as a goaltender, which is obviously much harder to come back from. I mean, a goaltender, you need your hips, etc. But you see what happens when these players have a full off season to train with the team and to have a full preseason training camp and then get into the regular season right away. Jeremy Swayman had a horrible season last season, and coming into this season and even last season, everybody was like, is he going to be able to actually be number one goaltender in this league, or did he need Linus Allmark to lean on and, you know, kind of hide him from his poor play? Nope, he doesn't, at least so far here in two games played, two goals against, and a .966 save percentage. That is a 1.00 goals against.
I mean, they played like the Blackhawks and the Sabres, though.
I don't care. I don't care.
I mean, no offense to him, but I mean the Blackhawks aren't, they can at least score.
That's true.
Their defense is horrifically bad, but
very bad.
They can at least score.
I mean, on the bright side also for the Bruins, Elias Lindholm has 4 points right now in three games.
Yeah, and Pasta looks dialed in.
Yeah.
He did miss a pretty bad empty net, though, against the Sabres yesterday. There was a whole sequence yesterday where, like, the Sabres had the empty net for, like, 2 minutes. The Bruins had, like, five chances to score, and they finally didn't put it in the empty net to, like, 3 seconds left in the game.
They just kept missing the net type shit?
Yeah, it was just, like, weird plays. Like, the Sabres had, like, one nice block, and it was kind of funny. But, cause it was like, if the Sabres somehow tied this game, like, that's really funny. But, yeah, the Bruins, they've surprised me. I'd like to see them play some better teams, because let me look and see who they've played so far. I know they played the Blackhawks, and they've played the Sabres, which, congratulations, you beat those teams.
that's crazy work.
Because, let me go Thursday, who'd they play? Yeah, the Blackhawks. And the Capitals. Okay, so they did beat the Capitals, a pretty decent team, 3-1. Mm-hmm. Capitals outshot them 36-22. So okay, that's a solid win right there.
Yeah, Swayman was ridiculous in that game.
Yeah. But the Bruins are better than I thought. I think they're going to be. They're also still missing Hampus Lindholm.
Is he hurt again?
Yeah, he didn't play last night.
Really? Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know. Has he played? I don't know if he's played yet this season.
I can take a look for that. But I didn't realize he was hurt.
He did not play last night, and that dude, they're a different team when he's on the ice.
I mean, he's one of the most underrated defensemen in the league. He's so good for them. He played two games. He played the first two games.
So, yeah, he did not play last night. Not that they probably needed him, but...
No, you don't need anybody.
And also, Charlie McAvoy's healthy. He missed most of the season last year, and that's big.
So, good news for the Bruins is that he is just day-to-day with the lower body injury. Yeah. So, I mean, that's good news. But, yeah, I mean, it does help when your top two defensemen are healthy for the most part. McAvoy looks good. I mean, the Bruins team may be a little bit underestimated a little bit going into the season. I thought they were going to be eighth in the Atlantic Division.
Obviously, that's the Sabres now.
Sorry, Bruins fans so far. But I wouldn't be shocked that the Bruins are at least competing for some sort of a playoff spot.
I agree with you. I don't know if they're necessarily a playoff team, but I think they're going to be better than a lot of people think. And I think they can compete for a wild card spot, because just off the top of my head, like, very early sample size so far in the season, like, wild card teams in the East, I see like Boston, Columbus, Montreal looks pretty good out of the gate. Ottawa, they had a crazy game against Tampa a couple nights ago.
Did they?
Oh yeah, well they won like 6-5 in overtime.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, they kind of got thrashed yesterday. I think they were playing. I don't remember who they were playing. They were
playing Florida and got smacked. Yeah,
they got kind of their butts kicked.
Yeah,
but. And the Panthers look fine also.
They're 3-0 so far.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Bruins, I could definitely see someone competing for a playoffs. But let's see how long they can keep this strong start going. They're 3-0. Let's see how long they can keep it going.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how long they can keep this going, whether they keep it going or whether they just kind of fall off a cliff. Last but not least of the overreactions, Vegas has a goaltending problem, and I don't think this is an overreaction at all.
Their goaltending does
not look good. I know, again, it's an early sample size, but Aiden Hill in two games, he is .854 save percentage, a .324 goals against. Akira Schmid.
Oh, I mean, yeah, if he's your backup.
.299/.870.
Yeah. Who played last night? I know they lost 2-1 yesterday. I think, was it Hill that played?
Let's take a look here.
Yeah, they played Seattle yesterday. I know they lost.
It was Hill, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit concerning, especially... I think they're 1-0-2. They lost two games in overtime. Mm-hmm. You know, Eichel looks amazing already. Dorofeev has 5 goals.
He's going to put up 40 goals this season.
He had a Hattie, and I think in the game they won. They either won or they went to overtime. They had a, that was a crazy game, too. I don't remember.
It was in the, I believe, the first game of the season.
They were playing the Kings, right?
Yeah, they lost in a shootout against the Kings. It was like 6-5 or something like that.
Yes, you are correct. It was Wednesday. They lost 6-5 in a shootout, and Hayden Hill started that game. So, yeah, I think Hayden Hill will bounce back. I think you're seeing with this Vegas team a little bit of a slower start defensively. Their offense clearly isn't a problem. But I think Hayden Hill will be fine. Schmid, I don't want him on the ice unless he absolutely has to play.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Yeah, he's their backup tendy. You know something about their goaltending is if there's one thing that will hold them back is their goaltending. But yes. If there's one thing that I know about Vegas Golden Knights is that if they understand that they're just a goaltender away, they'll do anything in their power to fucking go get a goaltender.
Who's even available, though?
I don't know. Vegas will make somebody available.
But if they wanted to trade for, like, a goalie that can play, it's going to cost so much.
You know what something is? I know it's going to cost so much for that, but with the reports saying that Carter Hart right now could be going to Vegas and stuff too, like,
he won't be ready to play though for
be ready to play, yeah. But it'd be closer to like, this is let's see what you got, Carter Hart. Do you still have it or not? Because this could be where they just have Schmid for now. They're eventually, when Hart's ready, they'll send Schmid down, whatever, whether he has to go through waivers or not, etc. And now if Carter Hart can play average hockey to above average hockey, he can be good. Or let's say, for example, he comes back in, he's rusty, he just playing out fucking sucks now because he's been gone from the game for the last two seasons. Now you have to go out and you have to make a goalie available. And knowing Vegas, and I know the price will be expensive, like you say, for goaltenders, because every single team is locking up these goaltenders. Even if
I don't even know who would be available, though, because teams very rarely make a goalie available in a trade.
Like I said, Vegas will make somebody available. And it also, too, like, goalies right now, we look at it now, it's like, who's going to be available? Nobody's available right now, but maybe a couple goaltenders get made available closer to the trade deadline, you know? So you even see, like, a team like San Jose, for example, like, they have Nedeljkovic. They're not trading Nedeljkovic. He's there as a veteran presence for Yaroslav Askarov. You look at teams like Pittsburgh and Philly and even these teams with...
I'm sure Pittsburgh would be very happy to trade Tristan Jarry.
Yeah, I think Vegas would stay far away from...
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. Vegas, if they have a competent goalie, even an above-average goalie, Aiden Hill doesn't need to be some Vezina Trophy candidate for them. He just
I'll
be
give
better.
Vegas, like, a month to see how their goaltending is after a month. And mm-hmm. If it's still, like, if Aiden Hill still is, like, a below 890 save percentage, then I'll start to be worried.
Then I would be worried about them. Their roster in front of Aiden Hill is, though, one of the deepest and one of the best.
Their roster is good enough to kind of make up for the blemishes mm-hmm. for, like, little weak spots here and there, especially, like, their top six or just the scoring that they could produce. And we've already seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a little bit of time, and then I'll make my judgment from there.
Early season takeaways so far. We'll stick with goaltending. Joey DeCord is a dark horse Vezina candidate.
Dude's been locked in.
There's a reason. Didn't Seattle pay him?
Yes.
There's a reason why they paid him.
Yeah. He kind of took over the starting position last year. He played really well. He was like one of the few bright spots for Seattle last year, and he has been a stud so far this year.
What are his stats here? Let's see. So far in two games, he's 2-0 with the 0.96 goals against and a .968 save percentage.
Yes.
That's insane.
I mean, it's only two games, but...
I don't care. That's insane.
And I think he's going to play a lot of games this year. I don't think they really trust Philip Grubauer as their backup.
Joey DeCord will probably get 60 to 63 games.
And if... I mean, I don't think these kinds of numbers are sustainable. No. Especially below one goals against average, but... I think he can probably like have like a 920, 930 save percentage like the whole season.
920, 930?
Yeah.
930 is crazy. I mean, okay. I think we see this.
He's my fantasy goalie, man. I got to believe
in
him.
Fair enough. That's fair. We see this every season where you have like the Connor Hellebuck, the Shesterkins, the Vasilevskis, the Sorokins, etc., the Jake Ottingers, where you know what you're going to get with them, right? But you always have that goaltender or two that always plays way better than what you expected.
Last year, Darcy Kemper.
And Logan Thompson, too. And unfortunately, Thompson got hurt, which kind of pushed him out of the Vezina race. But this season could be a guy like Joey DeCord coming in. And he, obviously, these numbers aren't sustainable, but he can give you a goals against him.
What if they are sustainable?
What if he had the goals against below 10? Below one would be crazy. But like a 2-2 goals against and like a 920 save percentage, like that can make him a Vezina finalist, especially as long as we don't have another record-breaking goaltender season like Connor Hellebuyck did. But like Shesterkin looks phenomenal right now. Yeah. So you Vasilevsky, actually, I don't even know how he's been. But the point being is that Joey DeCord looks great. Seattle Kraken fans, they finally have something to cheer about because the rest of the team's, no offense, is pretty fucking boring.
I mean, a good goaltender could do a lot. They're 2-0 to start the season. They beat Vegas yesterday 2-1. They were able to limit their scoring. Mm-hmm.
Which is huge.
So like, let me see what the shots were. The shots were 27-22 in favor of Vegas. So kind of average shooting game. So honestly, I think that's a good sign for Seattle.
That's a great sign for Seattle. I mean, you go up against a top-tier contender to Western Conference. You limit them to only 27 shots in the game. Granted, you're only 22, but you allowed one goal on the 22 shots and came away with a W. Again, like you said, that is a great sign. How about Frank Nizar proving us wrong so far?
Yeah, he's been great so far to start the season.
He looks great. He had 2 points in the opening night game against the Florida Panthers on Wednesday, or Tuesday, excuse me. Frank Nizar is making the Blackhawks look smart so far by paying him this contract.
Yeah, I'll give him credit. Yeah, I when they signed the contract, I thought it was a bit premature.
Me too.
But look at the Blackhawks making themselves look smart so far. I mean, we'll see if he can keep this up. He's 5 points in 3 games. He had 2 points last night against the Montreal Canadiens. He's been a bright spot on the Chicago team so far.
You know what? Frank Nizar, 5 points in 3 games. You have Bedard at 3-3, and then Tevu Teravainen 4 in 3 games as well. Those are the top 3 goal scorers, and we don't have to talk about their goaltending. This is about Frank Nizar. Frank Nizar, man,
I don't
like,
think the goaltending is the problem, though. It's the defense.
Okay, well, it is the defense, but, like, come on. Like, a 4 goals against average for Soderblom. I mean, it's only one game, so this is...
It's one game. Spencer Knight, I don't think, has been that bad.
No, he hasn't been. But there were people saying that Frank Nizar was going to be great this season, and I was kind of skeptical, not saying that I don't think he's going to be great, but I thought he was 1 year away from really blossoming into a star, and we might be watching a star being blossomed right now for Chicago. And dude, he looks like he's been in the league for 3, 4, 5 seasons now. There's a reason why he was invited to the Olympic orientation camp for Team USA. We're like, maybe, you know, the Blackhawks know something. The NHL knows something. There were NHL GMs and front office staff members and everything that were saying this contract was going to be a steal for the Blackhawks. And here we are, two people with the mic saying, what the fuck are the Blackhawks doing? Maybe wait a year. And look at this so far. So I love, okay, I don't love being wrong, but when I am wrong, I like saying that I was wrong, and so far I was wrong. So.
I mean, if I remember correctly, I was just kind of like, I needed to see him play more.
Yeah, he played, what was he, like 40 games into his career, 50 games or
he
something?
He played 53 games last year.
I think it was the least amount of games played when a player got like $6 million or something more on his contract. I mean, don't know.
What was the cap at, like $7 million or something?
$6-7 something.
It's not even that bad of a contract. In hindsight, especially with how big some of these numbers are getting. So, yeah, congrats on a pretty rare W in the last few years for the Chicago Blackhawks.
The NHL is getting a youth movement right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it over the last few years with guys like Caulfield, Demidov, Michkov, even Zegras too, etc. The list goes fucking on. How about 6 NHL players scored their first career goal last night on Saturday? Matthew Schaefer, Zibuyam, Gavin Brindley, Bradley. I think it's Bradley Rinzel. I don't know. Rinzel, you had Kindle, and then Noah Phillip. They all scored their first career goals last night. Matthew Schaefer, first overall pick. Beautiful goal. Same with Buyam and the rest of the guys. And just, you know what?
I thought I saw Schaefer's goal. I wouldn't say it was a beautiful goal. He, like, poked it in.
I don't
in.
Care. It was a beautiful goal.
He celebrated like he won the damn Stanley Cup, dude. They were down 4-2.
I don't care. He can do that. It was
you know, I get it's a big moment. the best first goal celebration I think I've ever seen in my life was Nail Yakupov. When he scored overtime, he dropped to his knees and he was like crying on the ice because they won a regular season game in overtime. One player that I think you left off the list, he's been pretty solid start of the year as a rookie, is Bennett Senecky.
He had
Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah.
He has 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points so far in 2 games. So solid start for him,
He's
too.
Been really good, too. What, did he score? He scored his first NHL goal a couple nights ago?
Yeah, against Kraken.
Yeah. Well, there's 7 that scored it just until. I know there's been more. I think there's been like 10 or 11 players that have scored their first NHL goal already.
Yeah, good start for rookies. Yeah.
It's been a really good start for rookies. So, last but not least, I know we covered this a little bit, so we don't have to go too in-depth with it, but this is more about Igor Shesterkin. But I do think Igor Shesterkin, looking like it right now, will win the Vezina Trophy.
He's played 3 games.
I don't give a fuck, dude. It's over yet. You know what? Maybe throw this into overreactions instead of early season takeaways. But either way, though, Igor Shesterkin, man, he looks like he might put up
a nice 30. Well, right now, Pavel Dorofeev is winning the Rocket, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Eichel's winning the Art Ross, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, they all are.
And then Senecky's rookie of the year.
Yes, you get it. You get it. Exactly.
Season's over, boys. It's over.
Boston Bruins, you are the Stanley Cup champions right now, too, at 3-0.
I think they'd actually be they'd be playing Montreal the first round.
What a matchup that would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Toronto will be a wild card team. Yeah, regular season should only be
it's
3
over.
Games.
It's over.
Yeah, I
it's
agree
over.
With you.
You really think it's an overreaction, me saying Shesterkin with the Vezina?
I mean, I think it's a bit of an overreaction just to declare it after he's played 3 games.
Hold on.
He's had a good start to the year. Don't get me wrong. But to flat out say he's winning the Vezina trophy, it's over. Stop it. Stop the count. It's a bit of an overreaction.
Dude, he has a .980 save percentage.
He's played 3 games.
Technically 2. The Sabres don't count.
No, well, they do count because he had a shutout that game, so that's why his stats are so high.
You know what? That's fair. Hold on.
He has stats like this at the end of the year,
wait.
No one MVP.
He played the Sabres, then he played Pittsburgh twice. Look at that. Look at dude. Come on.
He ain't playing today, though. No. They play the Capitals. Jonathan Quick is starting.
Congrats on your W, Washington Capitals. Okay. You know what? I want to, before we end it, can we talk about the Adam Fox stuff real quick? Adam Fox looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You take Keandre Miller away from him, he looks like a Norris winning defenseman.
So you're saying Keandre Miller was hurting him.
But Keandre Miller looks great in Carolina so far, too.
I think it was a situation where it was bad coaching and a bad system. We knew Adam Fox because he won a Norris Trophy.
And you know what? I also don't think that Keandre Miller and Adam Fox worked great together.
No.
Like
Did they even play together that often?
They played a little bit together. Obviously, in certain situations. They weren't like...
I think with Adam Fox, it's just... He's looking back to himself. He's won a Norris Trophy. He's an elite defenseman. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was Keandre Miller that was holding him back.
It was more that brutal blue line that they have. Now you give him Gavrikov, and look at what he does.
And I also believe that Fox had been playing through injuries the last couple of years as well.
Last season, he was 1,000%.
Yeah.
He has 3 goals so far this season.
Well, a couple years ago when they won the President's Trophy, he got hurt in the playoffs. He looked horrible.
Dude, his knee was destroyed. It was like early in the playoffs too. He got like a knee on knee hit.
Yeah, and I remember like watching the conference finals and he just looked like a shell of himself.
He looked slow, looked bad, and it's like what's going on with him? And it comes out that he was basically playing with one knee.
Yeah.
There was something else that I was gonna say. Adam Fox has 3 goals so far this season. It took him 40-plus games to get 3 goals last season.
I mean, he's not really known for his goal-scoring prowess.
No.
But I'm glad to see Fox is back to himself. I think a lot of people forgot how good he is when he's at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Like I said, he won a Norris Trophy a few years ago. Like, the dude's good.
I will never forgive NHL Network for putting me as the 17th best defenseman coming into the season.
Well, he didn't have a good year last year.
No, he didn't.
And that's just a lot of those things are based off of, they're very recency biased, right?
Yeah.
And would I say there's 16 guys, 16 defensemen in the league that are better than him? Probably not. He's probably top 10 for sure.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, but it is what it is. I'm glad to see he's back to his regular game and being the defenseman everyone knows he can be.
That's going to end it for today's episode. If you guys enjoy all of our content, head over down to the description below. Check out us on all of our social media, as well as subscribe, notification bell, and new episodes out every single Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern here on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you guys in our next episode.